Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Hey, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. So my motivational quote today is by Nora Roberts, and she says, "If you don't go after what you want, you'll never have it. If you don't ask, the answer is always no. If you don't step forward, you're always in the same place." Now, have you taken a break from work, not just a month or two, but like a real time out? Maybe it was to be a stay-at-home mom or to care for an older family member. Whatever the reason, re-entering the workforce after a long break can be not only hard, but also probably intimidating. You know, time to get real and let's get brave with this. In this episode, we're going to arm you with tips to relaunch your career after taking a break and have you hit the ground running. We're talking with an expert on this whole relaunch process. She is the chair and co-founder of iRelaunch, builder of corporate career reentry programs, and leader of 75,000 person strong iRelaunch and then hashtag return to work community. She's a pioneer in the career of reentry space, and her viral TED Talks, How to Get Back to Work After a Career Break, has nearly 12 million views and has been translated into 30 languages. I'm sorry, 2 million views. Yes, thank you for that. 2 million views. She's the host of the popular 321 iRelaunch podcast, which has over 110,000 downloads, and is the author of the seminal Harvard Business Review article, The 40-Year-Old Intern, which I love. She has walked the walk. My guest relaunched her own career when she returned to work at Bain Capital after 11-year career break before co-founding iRelaunch. Her relaunch is documented in a Harvard Business School's case study. A graduate of Pomona College and Harvard Business School, she lives in Boston. Whoo! Please help me welcome my amazing guest, Carol Fishman Cohen. So, Carol, thank you so much for being on the show.
Connie, thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Yeah, this is, I think, Carol, this is such an important topic because so many of us, for whatever reason, we have to leave the workforce and then come back after a long stint. And what do, right? Are my credentials still valid? You know, what do I put on a resume? You know, how do I start networking again? All these kinds of things. So first, let's start with, will you define career breaks for us and who typically takes them? I think that's a nice place to begin the conversation.
Sure. So when we first started iRelaunch, we were very focused on women who took career breaks for childcare reasons, so stay-at-home moms. But that was way back before 2007 when our book came out on the topic. And now, you know, we're 12 years later. So we look at relaunchers much more broadly now. Men and women who take career breaks for childcare reasons, and men and women who take career breaks for reasons that have nothing to do with childcare. It could be elder care or pursuing a personal interest or a personal health issue. And even more broadly, it could be retirees unretiring or expats repatriating after years abroad as a trailing spouse or partner, or veterans or military spouses who are transitioning to civilian roles when military service is over. So a broad range of non-traditional professional candidates who are looking to return to work after a career break of 1 to over 20 years.
Yeah, and it's so funny because what a vast list you just went through, yet the core, right, Carol, is they're trying to come back after whatever that lapse of time has been. How the heck did you get into the whole return to work space?
So as you referenced in my bio, I did return to work myself first after an 11-year career break. My career break started when my company collapsed while I was on maternity leave with my first child. So I didn't have a company to return to. And I decided, I knew we were going to have more kids and we had 3 more kids in close succession. So just decided I wasn't going to go looking for that next big job right then. And I ended up staying home for 11 years. And that was between 1990 and 2001. So when I returned to work in 2001, no one was talking about this. There were no programs. There was no media attention. I didn't even know a single other person who had returned to work after a career break. I had my stay-at-home mom friends, and I had my friends who worked all the way through, but no one who had made that transition. It was a different time.
It was a different time, that's for sure. Yeah. So the iRelaunch is really a pioneering company in that re-entry space. Now, you've been active in this for about 15 years, if I'm understanding that right.
Yeah, so even before iRelaunch was created, so first I relaunched my own career. Then I was the subject of that Harvard Business School case study about relaunching. Then with my co-author, Vivian Rabin, we got a book contract to write back on the career track. Cool. And that came out in 2007. But we were doing a lot of research and having a lot of conversations with employers and academics and work-life experts doing the research for the book. And we started getting asked to be involved in a flurry of career reentry activity that was going on pre-recession in the 2005-2007 timeframe. And that was really why we started our relaunch, in response to those unsolicited inbound requests. And we started seeing that there was some demand for this. And we were just very early. And we've been, we started our relaunch in 2007. Have been working on this whole issue, both on the supply and the demand side. So growing our community of relaunchers, but also working with companies to create return to work programs. And now it feels like we're having a moment. There's so much activity going on in career reentry, but we've really been working at this for, you're right, about 15 years now.
So, which is an extensive amount of time. How did you end up getting in that Harvard study? Like, why did they choose you?
That's a good question. Why did they choose me? So they were writing this in the early 2000s. They knew who I was because I was a Harvard Business School graduate myself.
Sure.
And they couldn't find that many people who had returned to work in an intensive full-time job. There were people maybe who were starting to return to work part-time or maybe not as demanding a role as they were in before their career break. But I jumped into this very demanding financial analyst role. And it was a role that I was familiar with because I had done that at the investment bank I had worked at prior to my career break. And one of the reasons I got hired is because there were people I used to work with at that investment bank who are now at Bain Capital. And they remembered me from 11 years before. And we'll talk about this, but that was when I learned one of the most important lessons. And that is that people have a frozen time view of you. So they remembered me from when we worked together 11 years before. And that was one of the reasons I got hired. But, you know, as I'm saying, at the time, there were not very many examples of this. So I think the combination of not very many examples plus the type of relaunch that I did do was felt like the right kind of protagonist for the case that they were creating.
It's so interesting. Time and place, right? Listening, like, who would have thought it just,
right,
the way the chain of events and being at the right place at the right time or being at the right place at the right time, relaunching your own career. It's just so fascinating when people talk about their history. Like, people listening going, I relaunch, what a great idea. Well, yeah, but it started 15 years ago when this wasn't a thing, right? Now it's a more common practice. What kind of trends, Carol, what kind of trends do you typically see or are seeing, and are there shifts with this whole relaunch, you know?
Well, actually, the article that I ended up writing for Harvard Business Review called The 40-Year-Old Intern, that came out in 2012, was really the result of a research that I was doing over a period of a couple of years, because starting in 2008, we started tracking career reentry programs of all kinds. The very first return to work internship program was at Goldman Sachs in 2008, and also Sara Lee Corporation had one at the time, but Sara Lee went through a restructuring and their program went away, where Goldman's program endured. So we had seen that program, and then we started to see other examples. There was an experiment in the military where they opened up their internship program to people with non-traditional backgrounds, and a relauncher got hired into that. And after 2 years of a rotational program, she got a permanent role. We saw, we actually worked with a couple of academic institutions. Tuck was, Dartmouth Business School was running a back to business program that we were involved in their initial focus groups and presented in. Lehman Brothers was running a return to work program in the 2005-2006 timeframe, not an internship, but a direct hire program called Encore. And also UBS was running a program with Wharton. So there, you know, we were starting to see some early activity. Sure. and tracked it. So over time, we realized that this was an emerging trend, the use of an internship-like experience to engage with people who are returning to work after a career break. And the reason that that was so appealing to companies was to the extent that they attach risk to hiring people who were coming off of a multi-year career break, the internship lowered that perceived risk because the company had the opportunity to test out sure. the working relationship and see an actual work sample of the person's work before having to make the hiring decision. So that was really the first trend that we saw, and that was what that article was all about.
I'm laughing. I love the title, The 40-Year-Old Intern. Did yeah. you? I know you have to have seen the movie with Robert De Niro.
Oh, yes.
Where
yes,
he, right, his wife passes. I think he's well into his 70s.
He was like the 70-year-old intern, right? So we had the 40-year-old intern, and then I did another news interview. They called it the 50-year-old intern. So this whole concept of people who are mid-career or older who are in these contract-like roles as a way to test out a working relationship before being hired.
It's so brilliant. It's yeah. brilliant. And that movie, you know, the value that he actually brought, excuse me, was exponential. And he impacted the organization as a whole, right? I mean, obviously, it's Hollywood. Great concept, though. Great. One of my favorite movies, too. I love De Niro. Carol, how have you seen companies, you know, this internship kind of reentry internship, how are companies responding to this notion, you know, that you've been involved with?
Well, pretty enthusiastically, and in large part because the results are so great sure. from these programs. So we work with a group of Wall Street financial services programs that engage with us mainly through our iRelaunch Return to Work conference, but also we work directly with them, and we can talk about that later. Training managers and recruiters, we do a kickoff session for the class of interns that come in together during the orientation. We coach the cohorts at the midpoint and at the end of their internships. So we have a lot of touch points at some with some companies more than others, but we have a lot of activity in the financial services sector and a lot of activity in the tech sector. And we run with the Society of Women Engineers something called the STEM Reentry Task Force, which now involves 25 global companies, 19 of which have launched return to work programs. Many involve mid-career internships. Some of them are what we call direct hire programs without an internship. The relaunchers are brought directly in. Cool. And we've had almost 400 people participate in those programs, and 85% of them have been hired.
It's amazing.
And so with that kind of track record, and we're seeing very similar results on the Wall Street firms, between 50% to over 90% of the people who are in the Wall Street and financial services programs are getting hired. So the model really works. And we think more and more companies are getting interested because it's a successful model. And it's usually starts out as a diversity initiative because the companies are trying to get more women in their organization. But as time goes by, once they see the caliber of the people that are coming in through these programs, they start to expand, not simply as a diversity and inclusion initiative, but they expand based on their merit because there are great people who are coming in and getting hired through these programs.
You know, and you mentioned at the onset, excuse me, the military, and I just feel like we don't do enough for the military. You know, they're out fighting for our freedom, seeing these horrific things, coming back into society. You know, what's the transferable skills, you know, other than being heroic? I mean, obviously they have tremendous skills, but that's my point. Like, where do they find the opportunity? So I love that you're doing something on that framework as well, because I think it's just another needed resource that people don't know where to go, right? They just, what do I do next?
Well, you know, veterans transition programs have been around for a while, yeah. In different forms. So there are some companies, though, that have started, have modeled their veteran transition program based on their return to work program with a similar structure in terms of orientation, in terms of programming and the roles that they have and how it's a, you know, testing out period. Some of them also have started to integrate veterans and military spouses with people who are more traditional relaunchers in the same class. And in fact, I was just doing a kickoff presentation for United Technologies ReEmpower program. And for the very first time, there was a veteran in the group. And now they have been very active in terms of sourcing and making sure that their veteran communities and military spouse communities are aware of their program, and they're recruiting from those populations as well as what you might call the more traditional relauncher population.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's so funny how, and I think the internet and our global market helps with this, but it's just mm-hmm. great how what wasn't 15 years ago now yes. is like, yeah, no brainer, right? So it's just really kind of cool how we create, right? But then how, I mean, you were truly a pioneer, right? I said that in my intro, but how all of a sudden this need becomes, once we shine a light, what I'm trying to say is once we shine a light on something, all of yeah. a sudden it gains that traction. It, like you said, you weren't the only woman trying to relaunch and come back. But once you shine a light on it, people are like, I tried that. I have a friend who did that. And then all of a sudden we have a movement. So I love it.
Yeah.
Can I give you an example and
sure.
just so we kind of ground this in what steps someone might take. So let's yes. say I'm a 34-year-old ad agency exec, right? I took time off for an infant or whatever, and I want to come back. So what would be the first steps I would do to do that relaunch?
Okay. So the first thing that I would do, and we haven't talked about how long you've been on career break. You know, people sometimes think they're only going to be on career break for 1 or 2 years, and the next thing they know, they wake up and 10 years have gone by.
True.
Or maybe you started your career break because of a childcare reason, and then all of a sudden, right when you're getting ready to go back, you have an elder care issue on your hands. So career breaks are often longer than people intend.
Sure.
So let's say you've been out for a few years. The first question I would ask myself is, am I sure that I still want to return to exactly what I left? So you need to determine for yourself, you know, have my interests and skills shifted while I've been on career break? Or the career break can be a gift because it's the first time we often allow ourselves to step back and reflect on whether we were even on the right career path to begin with. You know, was I fulfilling someone else's expectations? Did I just fall into this without a lot of thought? So you have to determine for yourself, what is this best career for me still? The answer could be yes. And if so, then you have to think about, well, what am I interested in returning to? So maybe it's not exactly the same role as you had before, because depending on your life stage and why you took a career break, let's say you took a career break for childcare reasons and you have young kids at home, and before you used to travel all the time, or you traveled at a moment's notice, like you're going to be on the first plane out tomorrow morning. And you think, maybe I'm super interested in the field still. I don't exactly want the same position because I just can't handle that travel requirement right now. So those are some of the questions you would ask yourself. Are you going to relaunch into the same field, something related, or something entirely different? And is the role that you're seeking going to be exactly what you left or something slightly different, maybe impacted because of your life stage? So what, you know, depending on what the answer is to those questions, then the next step could be different. But let's say you decide you're going to go back into your same field, something related to what you did before. And, you know, you've been out, let's say, for 5 years. The next thing you want to think about are what has changed in my field substantively and also who the players are. Like, I remember when I was getting ready to go back to work, there had been a lot of consolidation in the financial yes. services industry, yeah. and I was afraid I was going to, I dropped my subscription to the Wall Street Journal. I really had barely read a newspaper for all that time. I was afraid I was going to go in an interview and talk about some company that didn't exist anymore because it had gone under or there was a merger or a name change. So you want to understand, what is the competitive field look like of whatever your field is? Who are the players now? What are all the products still the same? Is the way business is conducted? Has it shifted in some way? You know, people, for example, who are classic brand managers, there's a huge shift that's gone through with digital marketing now and the way it's data driven. And so I would then be talking to and getting back in touch with some of my colleagues that I worked with before and ask them if you could have a phone call for 20 minutes and can they talk about some of the major shifts in the industry? Can they give you a list of experts in the field whose thinking is the best right now? And, you know, what books are they reading? What articles? What podcasts are they listening to? Whose talks do they watch on YouTube? To really give yourself a crash course to become a subject matter expert all over again. So not only is that going to help you reconnect with the people from the past, help you update skills, but when you become a subject matter expert all over again, you're going to be more confident.
In the interview. So,
and that's a huge piece. Sure. You're going to be more confident. And then if you have defined for yourself and been thoughtful and deliberate about what you're interested in doing now, you'll be able to tell your story better. What you did before, what you're interested in doing now. That takes a lot of practice. And that's the other big strategy piece we say is you have to practice talking about yourself and your background out loud. So, and over and over, it doesn't matter if you talk to a mirror or you talk to a wall or you record yourself on your phone or you have one of your friends who's working call you and do a mock interview or you just talk to the people closest to you, you have to talk out loud and repeatedly in over and over and over again until you feel like you don't even have to think when you're talking about your background. And you're going to feel more confident because of that too. So those are some of the steps that I would take.
And I'm laughing. I'm not, Carol. It's fascinating because everything you described, even if you're looking for another job and you haven't left the work, you know, the workplace,
yes.
and or you're shifting and going into another industry, everything you described, you know, meeting the people in that industry, becoming the subject matter expert, interviewing, reading the books, listening to the podcast, whatever it is, it's called preparing.
You don't
just wake up and say, oh, I think I'm going to go for a job now. And yeah, I might as well do what I did 20 years ago. And it just doesn't work that way. There has to be an element of self-education, of taking time to prepare. And I really love, Carol, what you said. Really take the opportunity because you don't have the demands of the income, right? Because you're relaunching. So you've been on that hiatus for whatever reason to really stop and think, do I want to do what I was doing or what my educational background is? Or is there something I learned while I was a stay-at-home mom in military, whatever it might be, that I'm more passionate about? And how can I translate that into a career? We don't take that opportunity. So that was such brilliant advice that before you jump back in, well, that was what I was doing. That's what I should do now. Really think about, are you passionate about it? But what have you learned during that break that you might be able to launch a business or something else? I mean, I don't know. So take that time to self-reflect. And I just want to comment. I have my younger sister stopped to have her kids, right? It was a stay-at-home mom, which was mm-hmm. her, you know, a beautiful choice for her. And when it was time to come back into the workforce, instead of going back into the HR realm of business, she's an excellent writer, has always been. She did technical writing for different companies mm-hmm. and was able to do it remotely. So it still
That's
worked.
Great.
It, yeah. But it's exactly what you said. When she started to think about coming back, she's like, ugh, I don't want to go back into the city. Ugh, I don't want to do that. And found, hey, but I'm really good at this. And then boom, boom, boom. You know, opportunities knock. So that was really good recommendation or advice.
Yeah, and while you're talking, a whole bunch of things are going through my mind.
Of course.
So I just want to touch on a few of them. First of all, a lot of people do return because of financial pressure.
Sure.
It might not be immediate financial pressure, although there are people who have experienced a divorce or death or disability of a spouse or partner or some other episode where they need to generate income immediately. And you can tell by this conversation that this is takes some time to go through this process. So sometimes you have to take an interim, not so perfect job to pay the bills while you're strategizing for the next move.
Sure.
That's your true relaunch. So that's one thing. The other thing is that, and you're absolutely right, that a lot of these strategies are equally effective for people who don't take career breaks. But one of the things that distinguishes the people who do take career breaks, and I felt this myself, is you can experience a diminished sense of self over time, the more professionally disconnected you become. So if you are in a caregiving role for children or in elder care, you experience that disconnectedness, and then over time you experience a diminished sense of self. And even people who were really high performers or who were senior in their prior roles, that's why they have this loss of confidence. And it's probably more acute than for people who have been working without a career break. So that's something else to keep in mind. And then the other thing is that you have to get out of the house. So many people think that you need to spend your time researching companies online and applying online for jobs, which is totally an appropriate part of your job search. But most relaunchers don't get their jobs that way. They get a lot of rejections. And the way they get their job is because they go public with their job search and they tell everyone they know that they're interested in returning to work. And sooner or later, a friend of a friend is going to know someone, and that's the connection you would have never predicted that's going to lead to your job opportunity.
Yeah, networking. It's just the way things are done. You know, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And you're right, talk about it. Let people know. Interesting, I never thought about that self-worth where that disconnection becomes greater and greater year after year. Never thought about that. And that, I would think, psychologically can hinder people from saying, hey, Carol, I'm looking for another job. Hey, Con, I'm trying to get back out there. Here's what my skills are. What do you think? Who do you know? What are you seeing in your industry? We're afraid, maybe because of that self-worth too, that people might laugh at me or think, oh, what are you bringing to the table? Well, you're bringing a lot to the table, you know?
Mm-hmm. And that's another thing is we do say for people, for example, who took career breaks for childcare reasons, men or women, you don't want to be referencing your parenting skills as something that is, you know, part of what you bring to the table because you can't forget who you might be talking to. You might be talking to someone who is a parent and who has been working at the same time. And they have that same skill set. So we say, you know, really drill down and focus on the subject matter expertise that's relevant in your field, and then transferable skills, whether that's in negotiation or sales or, you know, a second language or something like that. So I just want to make sure
absolutely. Now, you also mentioned baby boomers coming back for whether they're bored, financial reasons, if the stock market took a hit, or they're ready to kill their spouse. It could be any of the above. What advice do you have for someone like that? Because I think once we leave the workplace because of retirement, you're almost afraid, like, well, what do I have to bring to the table?
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, a couple of things. First of all, I'm realizing that we talked about immediate financial need, but some people go back because of looming financial needs. So, for example, we have 3 college tuitions to pay, you know, starting 5 years from now. Or, you know what, we never saved enough for our retirement, so I need to go back to work. And that also could pull someone back out of retirement, as you're saying, for a financial reason like that. But you're really talking about ageism. People who are older are justifiably concerned about ageism. I mean, it's definitely out there. So we say the antidote to ageism is subject matter expertise. And this is another reason why it's really important to know everything about what's going on in your field and who the experts are, what their opinions are, and that controversial last article that was just released by Expert X, or that book that just came out from Expert Y, or this brand new financial product, or, you know, there's a whole new social media vehicle that you have to understand better. And first of all, getting back in touch with people from the past and asking them the question of, saying, I'm just coming off of a 10-year career break and I'm in information gathering mode. So if you want to connect with them on LinkedIn or you get in touch with them and they just think, oh, Carol's getting in touch with me because she wants me to help her find a job. I wish I never picked up the phone, or I wish I never accepted that connection request. So that's why it's important that you as a relauncher say, I'm in information gathering mode. Could I talk to you for 15 minutes and can you recommend who the best experts are in the field? Could you walk me through the career choices that you've made over the last 15 years? That will help inform my job search. So you're right away putting them in a position where they can help you out in a pretty easy way. And you're not it's not opportunistic on your part. At the same time, you're going to get valuable information about who those experts are. And then you need to sit down and do the hard work, because once you're up to speed, when you go to professional association events or you run into someone who's in your field, you can actually have a substantive conversation and say, I'm reading about that new product that just came out, and I saw, expert X's opinion on it, and it really made me think that here are the pros and cons. So you have something relevant to say, and obviously you're up to speed, and then that makes you a pretty interesting person to talk to. Sure. And if you can deliver that information with good eye contact and enthusiasm and energy, then people are going to be focused less on how old you are or how many years you've taken on career break. They're going to be more focused on the substance of what you know and your pretty impressive knowledge of, what you've been reading about and what's happening in the field.
Yeah, and you mentioned ageism, and I know it's so funny. I did a recent show, I think it posted maybe a week or two ago, maybe 3 weeks, with Mac Pritchard, and he's Mac's List out of Oregon, and that's how we connected through Mac.
Yeah.
He thought that this would be another great show, and he and I did an amazing show on ageism, and he gave valuable tips. So anybody who is coming back or wants to come back for whatever reason after retiring, definitely go back and listen to the show on ageism with Mac Pritchard, another brilliant, brilliant mind out there. And he gave some wonderful tips as well. Carol, what's your vision? What do you think is going to happen with the future of this? I mean, look what's happened in the last 15 years. What's next,
So we're seeing this proliferation of return to work programs right now, most of which involve a mid-career internship. Mm-hmm. But, we're seeing some pretty interesting trends. So first of all, we believe that every company should have their own return to work program, just like they have their own entry-level internship program for their college interns. They should be running a side-by-side re-entry internship program and over time scale it in the same way. So we're seeing more and more companies thinking about that and developing those programs. We're starting to see a few companies change their offering from a mid-career internship program to a direct hire program and get rid of the internship. And we've seen a couple of examples of companies that started right out of the gate. Like for example, Dell, the Dell Restart program started right away with the direct hire program, no internship. Ford changed from an internship to direct hire. UBS changed from an internship to a direct hire. And we're starting to see some more shifts there. Boeing is in the process of shifting. And we think that's really interesting because when we talk to these employers to understand what's behind that, they are starting to view it as less risky to hiring people who are coming off of a multi-year career break because of the success that they've either experienced it themselves with their pilot and had a really high conversion rate, 100% of the people converted to full-time hires, or they're seeing the example consistently with other companies. And so we think that that's something we're really watching right now that we think is super interesting. And the other thing is there are studies out now that show that millennials are anticipating career breaks in greater numbers than they've ever seen before. So we have already told companies what important signaling it is to have one of these programs to their own alumni, to bring back people who have left their company back into the workforce, to their existing employees, all of whom have friends and relatives who are on career break who might be interested in returning, but also to send this message to their younger employees we understand that you're going to go through life stages, and we understand that some of you may make this decision to take a career break. Not only do we understand that, but we've created this formal pathway back. And so we think that kind of signaling is going to become more and more important over time.
And how brilliant is that? They've already know they're loyal to your company then. They're already entrenched in the culture, product, whatever it is, whatever their role has been. And then to give them that entree back in, that's part of, think about the loyalty you gain from that. It's exponential. And it really, you're going to hire anyway, right? The company's going to hire anyway. It's costing them nothing additional, but what a bunch of goodwill for you're right, these millennials who are inevitably going to stay home to take, you know, if kids is the next thing for them or whatever. So it's brilliant. Mm-hmm. You're right. Interesting. You see how time evolves and things change. And these things are out there, and we're just shining brighter lights on it. I think it's amazing. Carol, we're out of time, but that was, just wonderful amounts of information. I hope all of the people who are experiencing this great change in their life, that choice, or the timing, right? Elder care is over. Children are now grown. It's time for them that they want to do something again with their life, you know, focus on me a little bit, right? I hope that this show has given them a tremendous amount of information. Now, guys, if you'd even like more information than the abundance that Carol just gave us, go to the website, which is irelaunch.com. So irelaunch.com. And follow Carol and her team on Twitter at irelaunch. Another way to get great information. Check out the website, a bunch of information on that again, and share this podcast so that people know that this is even available for friends and family that might be experiencing this. You know, the more we talk about things, the bigger the movement becomes, and then it's a help for everyone. So Carol, thank you for being on. And I really hope that people continue to embrace and the internships, right? These types of relaunch internships, but all the things that we've talked about today and the information. Thank you so much for the insight. Really wonderful stuff.
Thanks, Connie. Thanks for having me.
A true pleasure. You guys, if you're still interested, my partner and I are offering that free communication style assessment. Awesome for relaunchers to figure out what are my natural communication skills that I thrive and do well with, and what are my blind spots. It's a free assessment at wisdomdecoded.com. Go take it, get that report, identify strengths, challenges, and of course we have the companion book as well available. So check it out. It's information, again, all the things Carol and I spoke about. It's all about that preparation and preparing for those interviews, networking, asking for help, etc. So Carol, thank you again for being on, and I hope you guys will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together that this whole thing of change, no matter what it is in your life, it's usually easier than we think, or there's tremendous resources like Carol's iRelaunch programs out there to help us navigate those elements of change. So thank you, Carol. Thank you all for listening to the show. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. I wish you all an inspired week, and I hope that if you are looking to relaunch that you found this information helpful. Have a great week, everyone.
You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. To learn more about Connie, visit her website, whitmanassoc.com. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad you were here.